This is Recruiting Daily's Recruiting Live Podcast, where we look at the strategies behind the world's best talent acquisition teams. We talk recruiting, sourcing, and talent acquisition. Each week, we take one overcomplicated topic and break it down so that your three-year-old can understand it. Make sense? Are you ready to take your game to the next level? You're at the right spot. You're now entering the mind of a hustler. Here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is William Tincup, and you're listening to Recruiting Daily Podcast. Today we have Sabina on from PayActive, and we'll be talking about sustainability and of the livelihood of the hourly worker. So a wonderful topic, and I can't wait to learn about Sabina and PayActive and just kind of get into this topic. So let's jump right in. Sabina, would you do us a favor and introduce both yourself and PayActive?
Thank you so much, William, for having me. What a great platform for us to spread the word about what we are trying to do, our mission, and our end goal. My name is Sabina Bhatia. I am the Chief Customer Officer at PayActive. Let me tell you a little bit about PayActive. PayActive was invented, the whole idea around earned wage access, also known as EWA, you'll hear that a lot. Was invented by our CEO, Safwan Shah, and launched over a decade ago. The purpose of PayActive was really to improve the financial stability and livelihood of the paycheck to paycheck hourly worker. So that is the end goal. But there are many pieces of that that come together to make it a holistic mission, I would say. William, it's not just what we do, but it's how we do that is important. I hope that, you know, just a few one-liners are helpful to start our conversation.
100%. Paycheck to paycheck, you know, this isn't all. I think a lot of folks, you know, think that they're above it, and they're not. And, you know, you see a lot of, I guess, what people have historically seen as predatory loans, mm-hmm. and you know, things like that. What's your take on kind of how we've tried to solve this in the past that's kind of failed?
Mm-hmm. So great question. This is what we are seeing today, and it's you know, the whole idea behind the hourly worker, mm-hmm. and you know, the essential worker. The definition has changed during the pandemic. Before the pandemic, or even during the pandemic, essential worker was, you know, your healthcare, hospital, right. Senior living. But then during the pandemic, we realized, right, that any worker who had to leave their home and was helping us run the economy, it could be, you know, your package handler from Amazon or FedEx or the grocery store cashier, all of them were running our economy. So the essential worker really became that, you know, 70 million Americans living paycheck to paycheck, but also making a huge contribution in helping us build the economy. And that is the employee base that we are serving. And that is the employee base our businesses are coming to us and trying to find innovative solutions to help that base. You know, I love to talk about, you know, what we are doing, but based on numbers and stories. So let me just take a look at, show you a use case.
Sure.
An hourly worker comes in the morning, they clock in, they work whatever 6-7 hours, and they clock out. William, do they get paid that day? No, they do not. They have to wait for 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks if they're a new employee and the payroll runs in arrears, to get their first paycheck. Now, this person is making $14, $15 an hour, you know, and that is gross.
Right.
They cannot wait to get paid. Now, what has happened in the past, and it still is happening, is when they don't have access to that liquidity that they have already earned, but it is unpaid, you know, they're paying overdraft fees. They're going to pay their loans paying 600-800% APR to get $100, $200 to get by for the week, for 2 weeks. I mean, think about this. This employee is stressed out, is constantly thinking about, how am I going to pay this bill? I hope I don't get evicted. I hope my utilities don't get shut off. An employer, having an employee like that, you know, in their headquarters, in their stores, catering to their clients like you and me, right? It's a very disengaged worker. So we are here to serve that employee base. So now what is the solution we are proposing? Solution is give them access to their earned but unpaid wages. Mm-hmm. So today through Pay Active, it is a zero cost benefit to the employer, but the employee, they can access 50, 60, 70% of their earned but unpaid wages between pay periods, as long as it is earned, hours are completed, and they can just take care of their business and not have to think about money while, you know, at a checkout counter or dropping my package or at a hotel, taking care of my baggage. They are not disengaged. Financial needs, the basic needs at least, are taken care of. So this is the difference that we are seeing. And, you know, we'll get into the conversations as to what's really happening at the employer base and why this is such a popular benefit. But I hope that was helpful.
Oh, it's super helpful. One of the worries with paying, you know, again, kind of, I think, as Uber drivers and Lyft drivers, with, you know, at the end of your shift or at the end of your ride, you can tab out, moving that into both the hourly worker, but also the professional worker. I think economists at least have voiced a fear that exacerbates the problem. I mean, in the sense of, these are folks that don't save at all already, are already struggling. If they have access to the money that they've earned, which is, you know, to your point earlier, they've earned it. They should be able to have access to it. Will they actually spend it on their bills, or will they spend it elsewhere? And will it create more problems? And, you know, it's an interesting argument, but it's still an argument that basically says, no, the business is going to hold your money because you don't know how to spend your money. And we're gonna it's a parental relationship, right? Mm-hmm. But it is, and I know you've heard this from folks, that it's like, well, this is all great, but what if we give them the money and they waste it? Then what? Will they come back, and will he have created more problems than we were trying to resolve?
So talking about numbers, right? So we've run plenty of surveys with 2 million plus users on our platform, that what are you using your money for? Okay, so let's just hear it from them. What they're really using it for is just your basic necessities, the livelihood needs, right? Food, fuel, auto, shelter. That's what they're really using their money for, right? It's not like they're going on vacations. Listen, they can't go on a vacation because when they go on a vacation, they don't get paid for those hours. It's not like you and me, right? I can take 3 weeks vacation. I'm a salaried employee. I can still get paid. But, you know, for them, earning those $12, $13, what they are doing is, first thing, the livelihood needs are being met.
Right.
And once you meet that, you know, think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Once you meet the livelihood needs, once you meet the livelihood wants, you know, that's really when you get into that financial wellness. Okay, love and belonging. I now have self-esteem. You know, I have confidence. I have achievement. I can, you know, work towards those things and actually create a financial wellness mindset for yourself. You know, that's when, you know, morality, creativity, acceptance, and community, all, you're a healthier person. But, you know, it's the livelihood needs that people are taking care of. And, you know, it's not just users, William. We actually have a lot of support from 2,000 plus customers who are saying that, listen, the pandemic has changed things for us. We can't think like that anymore. We want to take care of our people. You know, the whole concept of human resources, right? Seriously, you know, if human resources says, hey, Sabina, do you want to step into my office and let's have a conversation? The first thing is, oh my God, did I do something wrong? But no, that's not what it's about. Human resources is actually a source of resource for humans. And so during the pandemic, what has happened and employers recognize is that, once again, survey results, 95%, William, that's a big number, okay? 95% of hourly workers are interested in working for an employer who provides earned wage access. In fact, close to 80% are willing to switch to an employer who offers earned wage access. So, you know, history says an hourly worker and the employer has a very transactional relationship. Meaning, this is your skill set, this is what you're going to fulfill on a daily basis, and I'm going to pay you an hourly wage for it, okay? It's a different community from your salaried employee base. It's not working like that anymore. Hourly workers are saying, you know, I want a benefit that is aligned with the rest of the organization. And employers are saying, you are the employee base that is closest to my customer. Right? Every time I walk into a grocery store and a cashier, you know, wraps up my grocery and, you know, I run my card and I leave, that person is talking to me. The employer does not want that person to be disengaged, right? So employers are actually very supportive. So, you know, that whole paternalism and, you know, what they're using their money for, we are way beyond that, William.
I love that. And I'm glad. First of all, yes. Take us into the kind of the world of hourly workers today, because, you know, there's a perception years ago that hourly workers are essentially, you know, folks, kids getting out of high school, you know, kids in college, you know, it was early stage career was basically the hourly market, most of the hourly market. And that is obviously not the hourly market of today. It's totally transitioned, especially with the gig economy and people wanting to work differently. And this is pre-COVID and during COVID, right? People just wanted to work differently. I mean, I have a dear friend of mine that has six different gigs, and he works when he wants to work. He doesn't want to work, you know, and he has benefits through a company, and life is good. Like there's a week where he just doesn't want to work. He doesn't turn on any of his apps. Doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And he chooses that. He's in his 40s and he chooses that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I would have said that to somebody 10 years ago, they would have looked at me like I was crazy. but that's more and more people are kind of choosing the way they work. What are you seeing with all your customers? What are you seeing kind of the hourly mix? What are the hourly workers look like these days?
So there are roughly 1.2 billion, nearly a third of the global workforce that are freelancers, right? And we have about, you know, 70 million Americans, you know, hourly workers living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
Now, what is interesting is that this employee base, they want their pay faster and outcome-based. You yourself use the example of Uber, right? I finished this drive, I finished my day's work, I want my money, right? So that instant gratification is becoming very, very important because of this employee base. So you have to cater to that employee base, right? You can't have them waiting for 2 weeks. It's just not going to work, right? You're going to keep losing employees. you know, most employers that we work with, their turnover is 80-90%. Because of the pandemic, turnover is one issue. Employers are telling us that I can't even hire people. So that is my bigger problem. So once again, it just keeps going back to, if you've earned it and you need it, you should be able to access it. And this economy has taught us that they really want a benefit that is catered to them. In addition to that, you have the hourly workers that are living paycheck to paycheck, William, that are also unbanked and underbanked.
Right.
So if you're unbanked and underbanked, I can't pay bills online through my checking account because I don't have enough money there, right? I don't have liquidity going into my checking account, so I have overdraft fees, right? So they are struggling to make any progress with savings for the future. So once again comes that, you know, innovative, flexible benefit that you have to provide these employees.
I love that. What industries are you seeing kind of the where this traction the most is? Again, I don't want to lead you in any direction, but is there any one industry is just really taking this and being really innovative with it?
Well, you are taking me to a direction to tell you that. When we started PayActive, we said that we are going to serve every individual, right? Irrespective of the size of the company or the industry, irrespective, right? Once again, if you've earned it, you need it, you should be able to access it. So we do serve industries across the board. I would say the top industries that are hurting the most today are retail, you know, your BPOs, your call centers, and healthcare, right? Healthcare is just going to be an issue in the long run. And, you know, one, because of the pandemic, but also because they have a large population of hourly workers that have a very relevant role, like caregivers. Right? A caregiver who's taking care of, you know, my 90-year-old grandma, I don't want too many different caregivers to take care of her. So I want that caregiver to be happy with the employer, right? So that relationship between the caregiver and the client is very, very important. Same thing with hospitals. Hospitals can't afford it today to lose employees, right? You know, now you have Omicron. How are you going to cater to those things? You also have a lot of people who didn't take care of regular healthcare because of the pandemic. You have to serve them too. So I would say healthcare is big out there, senior living, retail is obviously big out there, and logistics, you know, the package handlers, the warehouse facilities, they are hurting a lot. So we are definitely out there helping them out.
So let's talk a little bit about the retention of the hourly worker. And see, you know, obviously this could be a retention strategy to help, you know, help them not live paycheck to paycheck. But I wanted to get your take on the kind of the great resignation and kind of what you see in retention of hourly workers and people just opting not to work in certain hourly jobs for whatever reason. What are those intersection points that you see with your customers?
Goes back to, you know, the numbers that I had mentioned. Yes, the great resignation story, you know, and demanding flexible wage access and looking for new jobs, has created a very high demand for an innovative benefit that is inclusive. Right. So, you know, the 95% number I gave you, the workers that are interested in working for an employer who provides EWA cannot be ignored. Now, retention, we have done a lot of studies on the impact that a benefit like this and our benefit makes with the employer base. And results are 89% would be willing to work for a longer period of time for an employer who offers EWA. We've seen an impact of 30, 35 to 40% on retention of hourly workers when an employer offers earned wage access and the pay active benefit to the employee base. So the impact is huge.
Oh, I love that.
It can be quantified across the board. Doesn't matter industry size.
Where do you see hourly workers this year? Like, where do you see the trends with kind of, because we're, you know, we're talking about sustaining the livelihoods. What else do they need? Like, if we're creating a magic wand and we could do what we needed to do with hourly workers to get them to a better place, what would that be for this year?
So, you know, we talked about the gig workers, we talked about the hourly workers, we talked about the essential workers, right? You have to provide them a all-encompassing platform. We actually call it the livelihood platform. It has to be a platform that takes care of what they need for survival, but you also have to provide them a platform that allows them to sustain. So you have to have the long-term goals attached to your platform. Just instant gratification, taking care of a short-term need is not enough. So EWA does fulfill the basic needs, but our platform is really an all-in-one digital wallet platform. So, you know, we have a whole marketplace of discounts. Now, don't look at discounts as discounts. Think about it as savings. An employee today can go into our app and get savings for prescription discounts. You know how expensive prescriptions are, mm-hmm. and how many hourly workers actually have an insurance program that supports the kind of prescriptions they need, right? How many of them can actually afford to take an Uber ride, right? Or let's say go grab, a movie, right? Go and see a movie. They can get discounts on all those things on our platform. But here is a very important thing. We built a platform where, you know, it has three stories attached. It is the live, which is your earned wage access, right? Just own your day.
Right.
Grow. Once you've taken care of your basic needs, we have a savings and a budgeting tool. Goal-based savings. What are your goals? For what do you want to save? You can do that on our platform. Now, third thing, it's called Connect. So live, grow, and connect. Connect has become so essential for the employer as a tool to communicate with their hourly workers. Employers tell us that, my hourly workers are all over the place. I don't know how to connect with them. I can send them a newsletter or an email, right? So our Connect platform supports that for company announcements, to pick up shifts, you know, send them reminders, send them alerts. You know, if there's a hurricane coming, you know, what do you need to do to take care of emergencies? You know, things like that. So we built that platform to create a benefit that is a digital wallet and really serves the long-term purpose of the hourly worker. And that is what they are looking for, William.
I love that. You'd mentioned the unbanked earlier. How much of that 70 million is unbanked? If you don't know the precise number, just your take on it.
I would say think about the unbanked or underbanked who either have a bank account that doesn't service them 100%. So no bill pay. You can't get a check. If you get an overdraft, right, William, you and I can call in and get that excuse. It's not going to be excused for them, right? Now, your 70 million Americans living paycheck to paycheck, there is a high percentage that's dealing with those struggles on a day-to-day basis. So in a year, they end up paying about $1,500 in just these kind of fees.
Right, penalties.
Right? Yeah. Yes, and that is your unbanked and underbanked.
Wow, that's incredible. So let's kind of wrap up with the things that you see for the rest of the year for PayActive. So let's just kind of go into the world, because it's February. We got the rest of the year to kind of think about, like, where do you see this going if COVID ends and we go back to normal-ish? Like, what does that look like for PayActive and its customers?
So normal-ish.
Yeah, normal-ish.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we are building that platform that I discussed, you know, using Maslow's hierarchy index, right, as right. to how it works. Short-term solutions cannot be your only goal in your path to success. It just cannot be. You have to provide a long-term growth. And it's not just providing that perfect benefit. It's not just what you're doing, but how you do it is very, very important. So, you know, PayActive is the only certified B Corp in this industry, holding us to a higher standard of social responsibility. And what that really means, William, is for us, purpose and profit are equally important. We are going to make a quantifiable impact on communities, on users, and the employer base. You cannot just have a platform that helps the hourly worker to survive. It has to help them sustain their life and really live the life you've earned.
Right.
You know, you've helped us build this economy. You've got to participate in the progress of this economy. And that is where our head is. We are building the platform. We are growing the platform. And the traction from employers is escalated because that is what they want. They want financial wellness for their people,
right.
not a short-term solution.
I love it. It's, you know, as you said, it's survive and thrive. It's not just, we got to get them over to survive. Because they're struggling just to go from paycheck to paycheck just to survive. That's the Maslow hierarchy of needs. Now if we can move them from survival to thriving, that helps everybody. It helps hourly workers, but it helps our economy. It helps everybody. So, Sabina, thank you so much for coming on the Recruiting Daily podcast. This has been wonderful.
Thank you so much, William.
Absolutely. And thanks for everyone listening to the Recruiting Daily podcast. Until next time.
You've been listening to the Recruiting Live podcast by Recruiting Daily. Check out the latest industry podcasts, webinars, articles, and news at recruitingdaily.com.